Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Now, many of you know that I serve in the worship team, and it's something that I am truly passionate about. You may see me hooting and hollering up here, but let me tell you, it's not for just the sake of doing it or trying to get you riled up and be like, sing! Let me tell you, that's not the purpose of it at all. I have a true deep conviction of what it means to praise and worship the Lord. You know, it says in the word that Jesus tells us that the worshipers should worship in spirit and in truth. And I want to share a bit of my conviction with you tonight. I truly believe that when we praise the Creator, it takes the eyes off ourselves, the created, because it truly is honoring who is the one that runs everything, who the one that is Lord over all. He is the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and He is truly worthy and greatly to be praised. And so I truly believe with this that praise is such a tool for breakthrough, for freedom, for healing, for intimacy with the Lord. And so tonight, my message is called The Power of Praise. Come on now. Now, you know, as someone that is on the worship team, I do feel like I'm equipped to speak on this. And so, please. Oh, thank you, Ty. So let's get into this. And so if you have your Bibles, would you open up to Acts 16, verses 25 to 26? Now, to give you a bit of context about this scripture, we drop in Paul and Silas. They are missionaries of the early church back in the day. And they're walking through, and this woman just comes and is like harassing them and is annoying them and is saying, these are the ones that they serve the Messiah, the King of Kings. But she keeps following them and harassing them in that way. Now, you might think, wow, that's so cool. She recognizes that they're missionaries. But the fact is, this woman, she was actually possessed and she was owned by a fortune teller. And so it was kind of this thing of like, is this prophecy? Is this not? But she was not working in the spirit of God. And so Paul, being Paul, got annoyed at this. And I'm sure you two would be annoyed if someone kept harassing you and following you around as you were trying to go pray. He turns around and says to the woman, like, get out in Jesus' name. And she gets delivered of this demon. It's pretty cool. But the people in the Roman society did not like that. And so Paul and Silas were arrested for that. They were beaten because what they did was seen as a crime. And they were thrown into an inner cell in the Roman guard. And so that's where we drop in here at Acts verse 16, 25 to 26. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosened. Amen. How crazy is that? That off the back of their praise, this earthquake happened and the chains were broken. The doors flung open. There was freedom there because they chose to praise over everything. Now, one thing about this inner cell is it wasn't just like a normal jail cell. It wasn't very open, I guess you could say. But an inner cell was a part of the Roman prison system that typically was reserved for the most dangerous or high-profile prisoners. It was often located in the deepest parts of prison, lacking light and ventilation, and it was designed to prevent escape. And they often also used stocks, which is like these wooden things that go around your hands and your legs, to prevent them. And it was a method of restraint and discomfort and humiliation to the prisoners. So if you're thinking of this situation, Paul and Silas are in this cell. You can't get out. You're stuck. You're trapped. You can barely breathe. There's no light. You probably don't know what time of day it is. Your hands and your legs are cuffed together. You can't move. I would be complaining. I would be like, what is going on? I would be like, God, why me? I thought you told me to go and preach the gospel. I thought you told me to go and move things and do this and that for you. But why am I sitting here in this cell that I literally cannot escape and no one can really even get into if they tried? But they chose to praise over everything. So even in a normal earthquake, you wouldn't really be able to get loose. If anything, in that prison, the roof would fall in or the walls would fall in. It's game over for you either way. But the fact that this earthquake loosened their shackles, loosened their stocks, and opened the door, and they were free, and it also says that other prisoners were actually let free as well, actually shows you the fact that when you choose to praise, there is freedom that comes with it. On the other end of your praise, there is a breakthrough that comes. Paul and Silas chose to bless the Lord. They would have known the early scripts of Psalms that were written before their time. And it would say things like, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. I will extol the Lord at all times. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." See, it was the power of their praise that brought breakthrough. They chose not to sit in silence. They chose not to stay still or complain in their pain and suffering, which is so easy to do. But we know our God is worthy to be praised. He is victorious. He is the chain breaker. He is the deliverer. He is the God of salvation. And let me tell you, when they're saying this, when they're giving praise, it's not a light thing, because Jesus came down to save humanity, to take this weight of the world on his shoulders. That is something that is worthy of praise. Come on, church. Let me tell you, when they are giving God the glory, they are saying, "Jesus, even in my suffering, I will choose to praise you at all times. Even when I am in the most broken parts of my life, I know, Lord, when I praise you, there is breakthrough on the other side." And so sometimes we need to just push past the fact of what we're going through and actually give him glory, because we stand in victory, amen? We stand in victory. So instead of sitting back and moping around, feeling defeated, I feel to say to someone tonight, it's time to praise the Lord. I truly believe that the freedom, the breakthrough, the provision you've been looking and praying for, and I even feel to say for 4 years, it's going to come when you choose to fix your eyes on Jesus and praise him for who he really is. So often as Christians, we present our requests to the Lord, believing for breakthrough, but we actually forget to praise the one who brings the breakthrough. It's so easy to come into prayer, "Oh Lord, I just pray, would you give me money? Lord, I pray that you would heal me. Lord, I pray that you would bring my sister to Christ. Lord, I pray that you would do this. In Jesus' name, amen." So easy to just present our requests when we're feeling burdened and heavy. But when we actually bring praise into the midst, things change. Things change, I'm telling you. It says in Philippians 4, verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, present your request to the Lord." You realize how it says to do this with thanksgiving, not to just present your request to him, "Have a good one." It's present your request to him with thanksgiving. And so what does this word thanksgiving actually mean? Let me tell you. So if we actually look at the Hebrew word for thanksgiving in this verse, it is the word tudor. Sorry to all the scholars out there. Tudor, which means confession, praise, and offering. So when we actually present our request to the Lord, it should come with giving him praise. When we come to the Lord in thanksgiving, we are acknowledging that he is the giver of all things. When we praise, we take our eyes off of ourselves and fixate onto him. And when we do that, we give him ultimate control, releasing our situation from our hands and actually placing them into his hands. We have to come back to the fact that we don't know it all. He is God and we are not. Sometimes we completely skip past the fact that we need to present ideas to God, because we take scripture out of context and we say, "God knows my heart." Yes, God knows your heart, but does he have it? Yeah. There is a difference between God knowing what is on your heart and actually God having what is on your heart. Let me tell you, God might know something about you, but when you actually decide to tell God about it, it takes it off your hands and He actually has it in His control. Because we say, yeah, you know, God just knows about this situation, so I'm not going to pray about it. But you still hold control over that. You're still wanting the outcome you want. When the Word says in the Lord's Prayer, let His kingdom come, let His will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And so sometimes we see that there's like pride in our lives. If we just stepped down from our pride and praised Him for who He is and submitted it onto Him, we would see change and breakthrough in our lives. In the Bible, we see there are many examples of praise throughout the whole Old and New Testament. I don't have time to do a whole theology on the different types of praise, but there's the clapping of hands, there's the shouting, there's dancing, there's kneeling, there's prayer, there's lying down on the floor, many different types of praise. And so we see that, but sometimes we sit back and we decide to judge it. And cynical thinking creeps in. Oh, that's just for the younger ones. You know, jumping and shouting, that's just for Gen Z. Can I tell you, no, it's not just for Gen Z. We see in 2 Samuel where David danced before the Lord with all his might. Historians actually believe that David was around the ages of 30 to 40. Between that age where he was dancing and shouting, let me tell you, that's not Gen Z. So that's not just for the younger ones, but can I speak to the older people in the room as well? I know I may be young, but let me tell you, when you actually choose to get uncomfortable for Him, when you praise, when you lift your hands, when you shout, there is a change that comes. There is a breakthrough on the other side of your praise. It might be for you, oh, that type of worship isn't for me. So when we sing songs like, shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Or shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Or let everything that has breath, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You don't think that's for you, even though they line up with Scripture? So why are we singing that then? Do you think you're exempt from it? Maybe your breakthrough is actually on the other side of your praise to Him. The Hebrew word for praise is tehillia, meaning a song or shout of praise that usually comes from a deep place. So let me give you a quick story in the short time I have of when actually this type of praise brought breakthrough in my life. Now, I believe many of you may have seen me lead worship here before, and it is no lie that I am not a quiet worshiper. I will take that. But there was a time where I used to just perform up here, which I had to go through deep repentance and deep, like asking the Lord to forgive me for that. But I used to be the worshiper that was like, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Okay, cool, yeah. And then there was something that switched when I actually got a revelation of what it was to worship in spirit and in truth. The reason that I was actually holding back was because I struggled with fear of man and shame that people would actually say stuff about me like, oh my gosh, did you see that Chloe girl? She was like waving her arms. That's so silly. What on earth? Like, I used to be scared that those words would hurt me. So I wasn't actually worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. But when I come up here and I lead worship on every Sunday, not every Sunday, but practically, the scripture that is on my heart is let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And with all that is in within me, would it praise the Lord? And what does that look like? For me, that looks like every fiber of my being actually praising the Lord, because He's the one that created me. He's the one that gave me these gifts. And so who am I to hold back the praise and the reverence to my Father, my King, when He has given me a physical body to move, when He has put breath in my lungs, as it says in Psalms 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I'm not going to keep my breath to myself. I'm going to praise Him as He has made me to be fearless in this. my spiritual mum, you may know her. Her name is Nikki Dent. She actually gave me this word that really released me into this space. She's also a hootin' and hollerin' one like me as well, we'll say. But there was a moment at conference, at Universe Conference last year, where she pulled me up onto the stage, and out of nowhere, I just started running laps across the stage, you know? Not because I was like, oh my gosh, like, look at me, I can run. But like, which I really can't. But anyway, it was because I just wanted to praise the Lord with every fiber of my being. I just couldn't contain it. Like when you catch the joy of the Lord, you just can't contain it. When you have the Holy Spirit in within you, why are we containing it? You know, people catch that joy that comes from you. The reason why our worshipers stand up the front to lead you is not just to sing to you, but to bring you with them so that their praise, you can come behind them. As the Levites lead the battle, you're walking behind. We are waging war, church. Come on. So when we sing these praise songs, we are not just singing to you, but we're asking, come on, would you praise the Lord with us? Come on, would you lift your hands for yourself? Come on, would you engage with the Lord for yourself? And so let me tell you, that was what flipped in my mind. And I saw breakthrough. I'm standing up here completely free of fear of man. I'm completely standing up here with no shame because I know who I am in the Lord. And I know that when I praised in that moment, something fell off, just like it did for Paul and Silas. When we come to the Lord, it says in Psalm 100, verse 4, to enter his courts with thanksgiving and enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. This verse clearly talks about how we should approach God. You know, when we see in the Lord's Prayer as well, which is how Jesus taught the disciples to pray, it starts with our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That's praise. That's giving God praise. You're praising his name when you start saying the Lord's Prayer. We are taught that when we pray to exalt him, I could go on and on about scripture that says, about scripture that relates to this, but let me tell you, God is not a genie. We need to actually partner with him in praise to see the breakthrough. We can't just keep coming and presenting our ideas to God, because that's not who he is. He is so worthy. He has already have everything in his plan. It is finished. When he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. And so we need to praise for that we're coming from victory. Let me tell you, if you're struggling right now, I just feel to say this, and you're like, oh, I'm so defeated right now. When Jesus died, like I said, he said, it is finished, meaning that he had won the battle. So when we praise, we're actually praising from a place of victory. We're telling the enemy, get a load of this, because our God rules. He reigns. The blood still works. The cross still works. It has power. When he rose from that grave, he didn't do it for fun, but he did it to prove that he is worthy of all the honor and all the praise. Can I get an amen? Amen. Can I have the band come up, please? In 2003, there were two scientists by the name of Dr. Robert A. Emmons of the University of California and Dr. Michael E. McCall of the University of Miami. And they did a study on gratitude and discovered that anxiety and gratitude can't actually exist at the same time. Another study says that being in a state of gratitude has a potent effect on moving us to a parasympathetic or rest or digest stage. When we express gratitude, our brain releases dopamine and serotonin, the two crucial neurotransmitters responsible for our emotions, and they can make us feel better immediately, enhancing our mood. How good is that? So when we praise, it's not just a spiritual shift, but it's a physical one as well. Because as we said, praise is not about us, it's about him. And so now, friend, I don't know what type of trials you've been facing, but I truly believe that your breakthrough is on the other side of your praise. I don't have time to go deep into this, but in Joshua 6, it says that they were facing this wall of Jericho. Joshua took over from Moses to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And this wall, it wasn't easy. An angel came to Joshua saying to walk around the wall 7 times, and on the 7th walk to give a big shout, and the wall would come crumbling down. Now you can imagine there being like, all right, cool. So like a yell is going to knock down this wall. Like I could probably yell at this screen and it's not going to fall down. But let me tell you, this wall, just to give you a reference of why they wouldn't believe this, the wall of Jericho was recorded to be about 10 to 13 meters high, 2 meters in thickness, and about 600 meters in length on each side. So that's about 2,040 meters total. It's not an easy walk, to say the least. It says on the 7th time in verse 16, to shout, for the Lord has given you the city. That's a form of praise that we see here. That when they were to walk around the 7th time, to shout, to see them enter the promised land as the walls would come crumbling down, as we know the story to end. The Israelites were probably tired, sore, hungry, dirty, probably wanted to shower. But they chose to walk that 7th lap and shout praise unto God and see that when the wall comes down, that they could enter the promised land the Lord had given them. Maybe some of you have felt like you've been walking for a while. You feel like the Lord has placed these promises on your life and there's no way of getting there. But I really felt to say that some of you are just on your 6th lap right now. Don't give up. Keep walking. For others, you've walked the 7th lap and now it's time to shout. You've walked that 7th lap. Are you going to shout praise unto the Lord, or are you going to sit in silence? The response is completely up to you. I can't force you to do anything. No one here can. It's completely up to you. Are you going to sit comfortably in your pride, or are you willing to risk it for His good and step out in obedience to see the promised land He's set before you? See, when we praise, we're not just inflating God's ego. We're putting it all in His hands. As we see many times when the people have given God praise for when the impossible happens. So when we give God praise, you can imagine what would happen when we do it prior to actually receiving the miracle, right? If a wall can fall down, if a chain can break, He can set you free from your cycle of sin. He can break you free from your lust problem. He can set you free from anxiety, depression, bipolar, asthma, eczema, financial debt, PTSD. I could go on from what He could set you free from. And now hear me out. I'm not saying that this is the only way. I know there are many ways that the Lord can bring breakthrough and freedom and healing in these areas. But I really feel strongly that we need to come back to what it means to actually praise Him and actually give Him the praise He deserves. So my encouragement for you tonight is get uncomfortable. Praise is not about you. It's about Him. There are many forms of praise in the Bible: singing, clapping, shouting, dancing, kneeling. It's not always comfortable responding like this. When I first started praising the way that I do, it was not comfortable for me at all. I know it may look like that, but it really was not. But I had to put my pride aside so that I could actually worship Him in spirit and in truth, because He's so worthy. And who am I to restrict the spirit? Who am I to hold back from giving Him praise because I think I'm more important? I'm not. Now, before I give you a chance to respond, I want to give anyone else in the room who does not yet have this relationship with Jesus the opportunity to come into relationship with Him. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And we heard Harrison earlier explain the gospel so beautifully that, you know, it's not about us coming to God, but God actually came to us. When He created us, He gave us free will, and man decided to sin against God, creating this gap between God and man. But God chose to send His Son, Jesus, who sat at the right hand of him, down to earth, a perfect man, blameless, sinless man, to take all of sin on his shoulders and die on a cross, a sinner's death, so that we could be here today and live in freedom, so that we did not have to pay the price for our own sin. Because, you know, in Romans 6, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And today, I want to present you with that free gift of eternal life with Jesus. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, just to respect this moment, the beauty of the gospel, salvation isn't we can earn it. It's a gift from Him. He's already paid it. Today, so that all we need to do is just come to Him to be washed clean. We did not deserve it, but this gift is available for literally anyone who wants it. So with just myself and some leaders at the back looking around, if your heart is racing, if you are wanting this free gift of relationship with Jesus, maybe you've said this prayer before and it's been a while, you turned away from God and you want to come back, we want to invite you into His kingdom tonight. And so on the count of three, would you be so brave to raise your hand just like you're in a classroom to respond, just so we can see who we're praying for. So if you want that gift of salvation tonight, on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Pop your hand up nice and high. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I don't see any hands, but that's okay. If you felt a pressing on your heart and you wanted to put your hand up, but were too shy to, please come see us at the back in the welcome lounge after, or anyone with a lanyard would love to talk to you more about faith and what it actually means to be in relationship with God. But for everyone else, would we just stand right now in His presence? Now, with the word from Harrison and myself, I actually want to give you an opportunity to respond to the word if it resonated in your heart and you actually feel to respond to what either of us were preaching on today. And so, as we heard Harrison preached on the gospel, how Jesus commissions us and He redeems us, if you feel like you want to be commissioned, when I say it later, you want to be commissioned into calling, you want calling to be revealed to you, you want to be set out, you want just prayer so that you can go well and do what He feels like He's called you to do, on this side where I'm standing, would you respond to that? But on the other side as well, if you feel like you've been going through a storm, a trial for so long, I truly believe that there's going to be breakthrough on the other side of your praise tonight. And I want to invite you to respond, not just to worship, but to praise Him with every fiber. What does that look like? It might look like getting a bit undignified before. It might look like not caring what the person on your left or right. It might look like shouting out for the first time. It might look like raising your hands up high for the first time. It might look like laying down flat on your face. It might look like running a lap. I don't know what it looks like, but whatever it takes to get uncomfortable in His presence, to actually praise Him, to see breakthrough, I want to give you this space that is, there's no shame, there's no condemnation, to come and actually praise Him. And so as we sing, I want to invite you that would you actually give Him the praise He deserves? And let me tell you, friend, there is breakthrough on the other side of your praise. Let me tell you, it's not a light thing that we do. We're not just singing along because it sounds nice or beautiful, but when we actually praise, it is pushing past the flesh. It is putting your eyes on the Creator. It is telling God, I know You are worthy. And even, Lord, even if you don't, You are still worthy. And let me tell you, there is blessing and favor that comes with that, because who knows, it's not our will, but His will to be done. And so come on, as the team leads, would you respond? If you want to be commissioned, come forward. Not just the young, but the older as well. Would you come forward and respond? Would you praise Him? Come on.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.